475 Riverside Drive. I have known that New York City address for 40 years, and last week, because of a meeting, I got there for the first time. It is a 19-story limestone tower. Its official name is the Interchurch Center, but unofficially, many call it the God Box. Riverside Church is across 120th Street to the north. Union Theological Seminary and Columbia University are across Claremont Avenue to the west. It is quite the heady neighborhood. Indulge me with a little history. Perhaps the most influential alliance in 20th century liberal Protestantism was forged when the richest man in the modern world promised to build a church for the most famous preacher in America. Harry Emerson Fosdick, and oh, by the way, you know that you've made it when people use three names for you. Harry Emerson Fosdick dreamed of an ecumenical church that was set free from the gilded and jewel-encrusted captivity of Fifth and Park Avenues. With the limitless wealth of his Standard Oil fortune, John D. Rockefeller built a church for Fosdick in the auspiciously intellectual and diversely dynamic neighborhood near Grant's tomb. Riverside Church was modeled after the cathedral in Chartres, but its overpowering architectural feature is its hulking 22-story tower that literally storms heaven. A tower raised up in a protest of power and possibility against the Great Depression when it was completed in 1930. Then, 30 years later, John D. Rockefeller Jr. built the Interchurch Center. That alliance of black gold and relevant religion secured the primacy, indeed the dominance, of liberal Protestantism. And 475 Riverside Drive became the national address for those denominations, including the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, and the United Church of Christ. However, the same temporal power of oil that established liberal Protestantism so securely also eroded its spiritual power. And corporate religion became more or less a wholly owned subsidiary of corporate America. If anything confirms that reality, it's that President Dwight Eisenhower was chosen to lay the cornerstone for the Interchurch Center. Friends, this was the Vatican of liberal Protestantism. Riverside Church was its cathedral. Union Theological Seminary was its academy. And the Interchurch Center, the God Box, was its curia, its corporate office. But the unrest of the 1960s, you know, civil rights and Vietnam, quickly alienated progressive church leaders from the traditionalists in their church's pews. And 475 Riverside Drive came to symbolize the pretentious isolation of these denominational leaders. So, one by one, the denominations moved out. The Lutherans, they came to Chicago. The Presbyterians, they went to Louisville. And the United Church of Christ, well, we found our home in Cleveland. You see, the Protestant Vatican had taken its strength for granted. And that was as naive as it was arrogant. Because instead of strength, what institutional liberal Protestantism experienced was diminishment and in some ways death. But today is a day not to celebrate the love of power. The love of power was the seductive destruction that was experienced at 475 Riverside Drive. Today is not about that, it's about the opposite. Not the love of power, but the power of love. And no one makes love's power more palpable than do our mothers. Now, friends, I know that for some of us, our relationships with our mothers are difficult and messy. Maybe that's why God doesn't just give us mothers by birth. Maybe that's why God gives us mothers by choice and commitment. For me, those mothers, the ones who chose me and have committed to me, are my hometown neighbor Martha and my St. Louis church musician Fern. They're the ones, for me, who are the mothers that came to me by commitment and choice. So I invite you to name in your minds those who are mother to you by commitment and choice, as well as by birth, and hold them in your hearts today. These mothers are God's gifts who personify and bless us with the power of love. The power of love. Love that knows that true greatness is service. Love that persistently gives for others instead of getting for ourselves. The world around us is rife with the love of power, and it's riddled by it. World leaders flex their military muscle. Tyrants play games of chicken with nuclear warheads. Korea, you know, just launched a brand new kind of missile in a test this morning, North Korea. Washington is filled with suspense and sensation and intrigue and innuendo. People are massacred in our cities in broad daylight with automatic rifles, and life's basic necessities get held hostage by dollar signs and profit margins and balance sheets. The love of power, that love of power always, always, always expresses itself in strategies that control and take advantage of others. It always uses schemes that maximize our power by minimizing theirs. And it might all be entertaining if the future of humanity and the sustainability of the earth weren't at stake. Even in the church, we are concerned about who has the power. 475 Riverside Drive's history witnesses to that. power in this world is a reality for us. And so it's natural that as we consider a new governance structure next week, some are asking questions about who's got the power? Where is power vested? Who's in charge? Who will make the decisions? Friends, those questions are very realistic if we are at all aware of how much we love power. But I'm here to tell you today that the only real and lasting power in the church is the power of love. There is no other. And God fully vests that power in each of us. As the governance task force has worked away to create a structure, their primary goal was to create something that would magnify and motivate the power of love in this congregation and in each of us. The power of love is the only power in the church. And if the church gives in to the love of power, we lose that power of love. And pretty soon we aren't the church anymore. You see, guns and graves can't hold a candle to the amazing grace of God's glorious love. The power of love, that's the power to make God's love real in our world today. So the Apostle Paul pleads with us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And then maybe the most important phrase of all, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Today we rejoice not in the love of power, but in the power of love, God's greatest power, power that is intimately personified in our mothers, power that is personally experienced in Christian homes. Celine Dion made a romantic song very popular. It's a song that has the same name as does this sermon. Here's the end of the refrain. We're heading for something, somewhere I've never been. Sometimes I'm frightened, but I'm ready to learn about the power of love. Friends, are we ready to learn? The teachers are very close to our hearts. Amen.